Translation with purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Prabhupada. The living entity tries to achieve happiness and rid himself of the causes of distress. But because the various bodies of the living entities are under the full control of material nature, all his plans in different bodies, one after another, are ultimately baffled. Please repeat after me. The living entity tries to achieve happiness and rid himself of the causes of distress. But because the various bodies of the living entities are under the full control of material nature, all his plans in different bodies, one after another, are ultimately baffled. Purport. Because the materialist is in gross ignorance of how the laws of material nature act upon him as a result of his fructive activity, he mistakenly plans to enjoy bodily comfort in the human form of life through so-called economic development, through pious activities for elevation to the higher planetary systems, and in many other ways. But factually, he becomes a victim of the reactions of his fructive activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated as the Super Soul within the cores of the heart of all living entities, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. What does he say? Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mata smriti janam apanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The desires and activities of the living being are observed by the Super Soul, who is the Upadrashta, the overseer, and who orders material nature to fulfill the various desires of the living being, as clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Is that it? Anybody? That's the one. Ishvara sarvabhutana rideshe arjuna tistati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudani mayaya. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and as one desires, the Lord gives one various types of bodies, which are like a machine. Riding on such a machine, the living entity wanders through the universe under the control of material nature and its modes. Thus the living being is not at all free to act, but is fully under the control of material nature, which is fully under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as a living entity is victimized by material desires to lord it over material nature, he is subjected to the control of material nature, which is supervised by the Supreme Soul. The result is that one, again and again, makes plans and is baffled. But as foolish as he is, he cannot see the cause of his bafflement. The cause is distinctly stated in Bhagavad Gita. Because one has not surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must work under the control of material nature and his stringent laws, Deviyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. The only means of becoming free from this entanglement is to surrender to the Supreme Lord in the human form of life, the living entity must accept the instructions, this instruction from the Supreme Person, Krishna. Sarva Dharma Parityaja, Mamekam Saranam Vraja. Do not plan to achieve happiness and drive away distress. You will never be successful. Simply surrender unto me. Unfortunately, however, the living entity does not accept the Supreme Lord's clearly stated instructions from a Bhagavad Gita, and thus it becomes a perpetual captive of the laws of material nature. Yajyartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandana. If one does not act for the satisfaction of Krishna, who is known as Vishnu or Yajna, he must be entangled in the reactions of fructive activities. These reactions are called papa and punya, sinful and pious. By pious activities, one is elevated to the higher planetary systems, and by impious activities, one is degraded to lower species of life, in which he is punished by the laws of nature. In the lower species of life, there is an evolutionary process, and when the term of the living entities is imprisonment, and when the term of the living entities imprisonment or punishment in the lower species is finished, he is again offered a human form and given a chance to decide for himself which way he should plan. If he again misses the opportunity, he is again put into the cycle of birth and death, going sometimes higher and sometimes lower. Turning on the samsara chakra, the wheel of material existence. As a wheel sometimes goes up and sometimes goes down, the stringent laws of material nature makes the living entity in material existence sometimes happy and sometimes distressed. How he suffers in the cycle of happiness and distress is described in the next verse. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasri Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Bachalam Pangalam Gayate Girim Yat Kripata Mahambande Shiguru Dinatarinam Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Tamala Krishna Vaswamiti Namini Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrsta Vudale Shimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Sarasati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Naravashesha Shinnavada Paskata Disatarine Vancha Kalpata Rubyas Chakripa Sindhubya Vacha Pritita Nam Pamanevyo Vashnavi Pyo Namo Nama The living entity tries to achieve happiness and rid himself of the cause of distress, but because the various bodies of the living entities are under the full control of material nature, all his plans in different bodies, one after another, are ultimately baffled. Who is speaking here? Does anybody remember? Yes, the Avadhuta, the Python sage. This is a very famous narration of Narada Muni that he's speaking to who, Narada Muni? Who? No. Okay. Anyway, this is the story of the narration of Narada Muni to, actually you're right, Yudhisthira Maharaj. But here is the this sage, the Python sage, speaking to Prahlad Maharaj. What I meant, you know, who is speaking this verse. So, Srila Prabhupada, actually Prahlad Maharaj, he was traveling around the different part of the planet to try to examine saintly persons. Because according to the Shastra, Akuntamedasi, there's a definition of this Akuntamedasi. A saintly person cannot be understood by mundane analysis, mundane brain, mundane person. Akuntamedasi, it means a person who is very, very difficult to be understood. Here you have this Python sage who is there in a impassive state, without any movements, just like a python is lying down and he only eats what comes to him and he swallow the food, what comes by. But his python is very lazy by nature. Now this stage of austerity, it's very elevated. Now you have this sage, the Python sage, who is very fat, very, and Prahlad Maharaj is inquiring from him, how come you are such an exalted person, but at the same time you are very, very fat? It appears to be a contradiction, yeah. And of course, if you read the old, I don't want to go through the old answers of the speech of the Python sage, but he explains why sometimes a sage or an ascetic is very fat. That's why we cannot judge a person by the appearance, and then we conclude he must be a bogey. He's not a saintly person. Saintly person, according to Shastra, they control the senses, they eat very little, they sleep very little. But here you have this Python sage that is is a very exalted personality, a liberate soul, Ma Bhagavat, but at the same time, he externally, he sleeps, he's very lazy, and he eats a lot. But if you analyze, he's not doing any work, so he's engaged into akarma. He's not performing any work, making any endeavor to accumulate anything. So therefore, whatever comes to him, he eats it. He sees it as the mercy of the Lord. And this is a very elevated stage of life, that you don't make any plans, you don't make any endeavor to achieve something. Usually the mind, the function of the mind is to always plan a strategy how to achieve something. The nature of the mind is to take from this world. Whereas we all know the nature of the soul is to give. Devotional service. That's why we try to give. We try to give service and give a pleasure to the true service, to Vaishnavas, to Guru, Krishna. But the nature of the mind is actually to take. But this Python sage is actually in a receiving mood. He's not in taking mood. Whatever comes to him, he accepts it. Usually the mind is searching around for making an endeavor for accumulating comfort to the body, providing comfort to the body, comfort for the family, comfort for the future, is to organize some kind of activities that provides a security and comfort. And security, because we are always in fear in this world that sufferings will attack us. Now, as Prabhupada says in the purport, that actually this sage, the Python sage, says in the translation, that the plans of the living entity is to try to achieve happiness and rid himself of the causes of distress. So you can see that the goal of everybody in this world is actually to achieve some kind of satisfaction, happiness. But unfortunately there are obstacles. And what is the obstacles? It's the distress. Distress comes in the way. It's not something that we want, that we are searching for, but it comes. So you can judge by this phenomena that we are not in control of this distress, of the suffering that comes to us. But it's inflicted by external phenomena or internal phenomena, namely the mind and the body. It gives us distress. That's an internal phenomena. External phenomena, there's distress from other living entities that comes to us. You don't necessarily search for it. You don't instigate it. Of course, we do indirectly instigate it by karma, because whatever distress we cause to others, it will come back to us. That's the law of karma. So if we are in a very restricted situation in this world, the universe is a small place, and there is so many living entities congested with the living entities trying to compete for happiness. And the price that the living entities has to pay to achieve a little bit of happiness is the stress, the suffering. Without suffering, we cannot achieve the small token of happiness. So therefore, there are things very much wanted in this world, which are compared to be like a mirage. And we call it happiness. And it's this happiness very often, later on, this Python sage, he describes it as avaranatmika shakti. It's an energy that it's very much bewildering. Avaranatmika shakti means you have a different aspect of the material energy, like the andaranga shakti, the spiritual energy, the bhairanga shakti, which is the another aspect of Durga, material energy, that bhairanga from the word Balaram. Bhairanga means force, forceful. And forces the living entities to stay down in this material world. How does Durga, how she forces the living entities with the fork, the trident, forcefully they are pushed down to suffer these three miseries, adhyatmika, adhidevika, adhibhautika. And very often there is also a trident, another trident, which is the modes, goodness, passion and ignorance. Now those tridents are in the hands of Durga. They are not in our hands. And also they are not in anybody's hands. If someone is inflicting you suffering, it's not, you cannot blame the instrument of karma. A person that is giving you some suffering, it's just an instrument. But it's actually ultimately Durga that inflicts you suffering from her trident. So that's Bhairanga Shakti. And Avaranatmika Shakti is another phenomena that which is very much bewildering, which means bewildering energy that the living entities thinks this is happiness, but actually it's not. Just like engaging in the forbidden, four regulative principles, breaking the four regulative principles. It appears to be happiness. And maybe a little bit of satisfaction is given to the body, but that is a suffering. So it's a bewildering. Just like Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the camel. The camel is eating the thorns from the tree. And as far as he's concerned, he's enjoying very much. But actually what he's doing is eating those thorns, mixing, and the thorns, they're ripping off the tongue and the blood coming out of the tongue. It's mixing with the thorns, and then he swallows his own blood and he's thinking, I'm enjoying very much. So similarly, when people, they engage in sinful activities, it's like that. Sensual activities, they're actually throwing away their own semen, energy. It's a suffering. They're draining out their energy. And also, you know, drinking liquor or anything sinful that we perform, which gives a pleasure, an illusory pleasure to the mind and the body, it's actually a suffering. But it's a bewildering energy. We mistaken it for happiness. So therefore, the living entities are bewildered by this illusion, Avaranatmika Shakti. Just like the previous verse says, you know, the rabbit, he chases the mirage of the pool of water when he's running on the field of grass. But he chases the mirage and he's thinking, yes, very soon, you know, I'll quench my thirst. But actually he doesn't know that the water, it's inside the grass. Shishirada Gokulananda Kija. So therefore the real happiness of the living entities is within himself. He has to just put his head down in his heart and find the super soul and service to the super soul, and that is the happiness, the real water. So it's very interesting here that in a purport, something that struck me, that we have no control at all whatsoever. We don't have any control in this world, even with our body, with our mind, in terms of dealings with this material energy. It says that all the sufferings that comes, it's not in our control. But it's inflicted by the material energy, which is the representative of Krishna. What does it say? Fully. Actually, the word in Sanskrit, anisashya of the living entity fully under the control of material nature. Kriya, plants and activities, moga, krita, become baffled again and again. We are not in control of the activities that we perform, the plans that we make. We are completely lost, bewildered, misguided. The plans that we make are from the mind, but the mind, it's actually under the control of the modes, goodness, passion, ignorance. And the suffering that comes to us, we cannot control it. It's inflicted by the material energy. Wherever little happiness and satisfaction that we feel, it's not in our control. Due to, says here, pious activity or sinful activities determine how much satisfaction you will get in your next body. So sometimes we feel a little bit relieved from suffering and we think that that is happiness. Yes, I'm happy now. And I will probably feel like this for the rest of my life. So it is possible actually to live in this world. Ultimately is not all false. There is some reality, there is some satisfaction. But that satisfaction lasts very, it's just a fraction of time. It lasts very little time. And it's none other than the space between two suffering. And we call it happiness. It's just like we are tortured. And then the man who is tortured is left alone just for him to come back to his senses before he experiences some more pain. So the material energy is like that. At every second you will feel some kind of discomfort. Can you imagine? For a spirit soul to be in an environment which is very restricting, you can't move freely. You have a head made out of skull and blood, mucus, water, fire, ether. So you have a body which is like a machine. Lord Krishna, he says, this body. He says in the purport, yeah, that try to get off of this machine. And a machine is vulnerable. It's bound to be baffled, to be defected, to break down, and is subject to crashes with other machines, just like when you drive on a motorway. Accidents are there every day. You are attacked by other machines. So similarly, this is the adibhautika, sufferings from other machine. Another body is giving you inflicting suffering, and sometimes the machine itself, you know, is not working properly. The car is not working properly because you've been neglecting it or because you've been going too fast with it, or because you haven't been using it. If we are lazy, we don't use the body, and therefore the problems. And these are the atmika, the devic, the atmika, problems from the mind and the body. So it's similar, like a machine. You have a problem with a battery, or sometimes electrical problem. And sometimes you find a car which is very powerful car, Jaguar, or you have the Rolls-Royce, powerful engine. So you have someone with a good karma, he's got a powerful heart, he's a good sportsman. So he can make his machine going very strong, very fast. So it's a synonymous to the machines of this world. So that's the body. But it's not us. I know we have heard it many, many, many times. But nevertheless, I'm repeating it for myself today. That the body is not us. But we are something else. That has got nothing to do with this body. Nothing to do with the environment of this world. But it's very easy to forget. So there is numerous attacks, obstacles. That's what the sage says here. Living entities are striving very hard to achieve a little bit of happiness, and he's trying very hard also to avoid all this, to rid himself of the cause of distress. But really the deep cause of this distress is that we have forgotten our original environment. We have forgotten where we belong to. We haven't realized that the only control that we have is our bhakti and our service to Krishna. Those are the things we can control. And we can't even control our senses. This machine, we have no control over it. That's why we Rishikesh Rishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Krishna says, you just surrender to me, I will control your machine. I will control your senses. He doesn't say you have to work hard to control your senses. Prabhu, I've got a problem in eating too much or sleeping too much. Then usually the answer is, Prabhu, you have to control your senses. Right? This is the old-fashioned reaction of your friend. Try to control your senses. But actually, that's not a fact. You don't control yourself, you just surrender to Krishna. Krishna will control your senses. Of course, what is the endeavor to control our senses? The endeavor is actually Krishna, I am yours today, so please take over on my mind, take over on my machine, take over on my life. Let us be in control. Either we are controlled by Krishna or we are controlled by Maya. Because so many complications. As soon as we move in this world, as soon as we try to control things, then karma bandana. Yadyartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandana. Krishna says, as soon as you try to control things, as soon as you move in this world, then you become more and more entangled. And then you get more and more attacked by different types of sufferings. And I was flipping through. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but in the next verse of tomorrow, there are sufferings not just from the mind and the body, not just from other, but there are sufferings from institutions, community, sufferings from friends, family members. It's all in the next verse. I'll just read a little paragraph from it. No one can escape the threefold miseries of material life, namely miseries pertaining to the body and mind, miseries pertaining to the difficulties imposed by society, community, nation, other living entities, a misery inflicted upon us by natural disturbances from earthquakes, famine, droughts, floods, epidemics, and so on. Just the body enough. If you read in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, according to the different stage of life that we go through, there are different types of sufferings. After the age of 30, 40, there is an army of suffering ready to attack us. And their personalities, these are all agents of Krishna. And there is the chief army, Kalyakanya. It's in Sanskrit name. It's, what is Kalyakanya? Does anybody know? Kalyakanya is the queen of time, old age and invalidity. As soon as you go over 30 or 40, you already start to feel some pains in the body about, you know, back pain. And then this Kalyakanya, she has a commander-in-chief, which is Prajwara. He doesn't act yet. Prajwara is the commander-in-chief. And then all the other army, each single person represents a particular disease. You know, when people, they're attacked by the disease of diabetic, typhoid, malaria, you have a disease of cancer. Each soldier is formidable. It's a, when we are attacked by disease, it's not just an abstract phenomena that it's happening to us and we don't know what is this pain. Actually, that is a person attacking you. It's a soldier from Kalyakanya. Again, that's Narada Muni speaking to King Prachinabharishat. And he's giving very, very graphic descriptions. What is suffering and who are those personalities? Who are this personality representing suffering? Prajwara is the chief in command. He attacks the, which means the high fever. He gives the final strike to the living entity when he becomes old and invalid and is at the time of death. He burns up the city of the body and the fever comes to 107 degree and the soul is forced to get out of the body. And then there is dragged away by the mrityu, by death. And during life, we think that we are very much free, enjoying the fruits of this forest. But we have the tiger of time devouring us at every second. We have the hunter chasing us, ready to shoot us. Then we have, on the left, we have snakes ready to bite us. On the right, we have pools of sand, you know, ready to drown us. It's a very dangerous environment. And they're all described as the tiger of time, you know, is the time factor, which is devouring us at every moment. And the hunter who is searching for us to kill us is the death, imminent death. We can be killed at any time. The snakes, poisonous snakes are the different types of suffering inflicted by others, disease also. And so we are in a very precarious environment. So the only way out from this labyrinth is the service to Krishna, to surrender to Krishna and ask for help. And he will be the only one capable to actually drag the living entities out of this situation. Because with our own endeavor, it's very difficult. So anyway, this is just a few insight from this verse. It's 8:30. We stop here. If there's any questions, please ask. If there is no question, I will end the class.